When the elections are done, we can have public comment the rest of the night.
Okay, we're just going to have to be a little thing. Madam Chair, I brought for the new chair's benefit a contact information sheet that I'd like the LSV members, that I'd like to offer this to the new chair, whoever that may be. Pass this around, have people fill out their contact information.
That's an excellent idea.
Okay, so while we're waiting, and I still think Leslie can have the
paperwork,
that's a good idea. I'll go ahead and read the board policy. Pacific National Board Transition Policy. The meeting in December of the LSB is a meeting of the newly elected LS members with the continuing LSB members. The term of the outgoing LSB ends on November 30th or on the date the vote is certified, if after November 30th. The outgoing LSB cannot conduct any business at the December meeting if a vote has been certified. The outgoing LSB may be seated in December for the ceremonial duty of turning the LSB over to the newly elected and continuing members. Any matters still pending from the previous LSB must be taken up by the new LSB when and if it chooses to do so. The first order of business of the new LSB shall be the election of the chair pro tem to decide over the election of officers. In the event that a LSB election is not certified by the December meeting, the sitting members of the LSB will remain in office until such time as it is certified. Directors will remain members of the TMB until they are replaced at the January meeting of the Assembly of Delegates, irrespective of whether or not they will be on the newly elected LSB. In the event that an LSB election is not conducted by the January meeting of the LSB, the directors will remain in office until such time as it is certified and a new election by the Assembly of Delegates is held. All elections for officers of the LSB and directors of the foundation called for by the bylaws will be held as soon as possible after an election is certified if they cannot be held in the time frame specified by the bylaws. And that's the end of the policy.
Could, they may have the results, but they have them.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Do you guys have the results?
Gentlemen.
No, they're still confirming. Yeah.
The continuous stapling is your bylaws going together, so I'll try to get the
thing. Yeah, you're going to get more copies.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's going to get a copy of the bylaws.
So I apologize
for snapping. I'm going to have to leave.
Here we go. That should be clear.
Okay. Yeah. Well, as soon as they finish the count, then we can go ahead and elect the officer.
I don't think so. Today they're going to be deciding, you know, which case are going to be the meeting, but Tuesday for me is terrible. You know, Tuesday is a reality. Yeah.
We'll probably do that in January.
Yeah.
We'll probably do that in January, so.
And, you know, and while we're waiting, you know, we're on an email list. Sir, I would think that we could make these decisions during that time so that when we get to the next meeting, at least we have an idea of how many people can come and can't come and what's the best time. Lesson.
If our chair is willing and the body is willing, I would have no objection to Donna conducting the election for vice chair in order to move this meeting forward.
No objection.
Donna seems to be objecting, so we can't do anything.
Not that I'm objecting. I want to follow the letter of the
Well, the letter doesn't say anything about a chair pro tem, to my knowledge. So I
Well, it says the first order of business is going to be the election of the chair pro tem. But it says to decide. No, okay, now, listen to this. The first order of business of the new LSC shall be the election of a chair pro tem to preside over the election of officers.
All right, so let's continue.
So it looks like I'm supposed to be continuing.
There you go.
Then please let us
by all means. Please.
I mean, you guys did follow the law.
Yeah, follow the letter of the law. That's right. I second that motion.
The next order of business is to, and we already did it. I don't know if we need to do it again, but to nominate, we'll see if anybody else has maybe wants to step forward. Nominate a vice chair. Nominations are open again.
Okay.
Any
nominations?
I nominate
Judge.
Do I have a
second?
Second.
Okay.
But we did.
We did.
But we have new members walking.
Okay. Do we have any other nominations? Would you like to hear nominations, Mr. Johnson?
Point of order.
Go ahead.
Rodrigo nominated.
Raise the partner. Nominated Dutch and seconded by Sean. Okay. I guess we need a secret ballot, right?
Does anyone call for a secret ballot? They don't. They don't.
Does anyone call for a secret ballot?
One person nominated seems to waste the paper
on
the ballot.
Right. I believe, and I do not have them in front of me. I could look it up, but I believe the bylaws do indeed require a secret ballot for all votes regarding people. Now, if we're going to go by the letter of things, then let's go by the letter of things or not.
I don't know if the bylaws require a secret ballot. Kill a tree.
I'm
going to
do
it.
Okay. They're going to play by the letter of things. We have a chair. We've got 15 votes for John Hunto, and the threshold is 10, so congratulations.
John?
No.
Okay, so while John, why don't we just sit right in for them? Yeah. And we'll do the next business, which we've already did. We nominated vice chair. Yeah.
If this is an issue of whether these ballots should be secret and whether we need to have secret ballots and if they're going to be secret, then I say I'd like the cameras turned off when people are marking their ballots.
That's a good point. Can you make a point of order?
Yeah.
You know, as an open meeting, CPB governed body, I don't think you're allowed to prohibit people from filming if you're concerned, you know, display.
No, that's, he didn't say that.
Right.
He said the secret ballot really secret.
Right, but you can't force people to turn their cameras off in an open meeting. And you're a member of the board, you're in the public. Basically, if you're worried about it, you can cover your paper very well.
Well, if it's secret, then why is there a camera?
You can go in the corner and write your vote.
But then
it's not secret, the ballot is secret.
Okay, well, that's the point that was taken. Okay, but Dutch also had a point. He said if nobody objects to having raise a hand or something, then you don't need a secret ballot. So what I'm asking right now is anyone insisting on a secret ballot, knowing that Rodrigo has to leave at 8, and we want to give him a chance to nominate other officers.
Since people objected to nominating to develop to the chair, I imagine I will object at every point. So
they haven't. Who's asking the question? No one has objected. there's no objection, we can move forward.
There's no objection.
I believe members have the right to anonymity, even with one candidate.
Are you saying you want to see the ballot?
I do.
Okay, so there it is. There's the objection right now. Can we get the ballot?
So let's just move on.
Well, how are we anonymous if we're being filmed?
Do I have to see?
Okay, now, not to confuse everybody, but while we're getting the ballots for vice chair, the next position will be president. So please start thinking about who you want to nominate for treasurer. Let's ask for the two candidates. Now, wait a minute. How many minutes are we going to give them?
Madam Chair, I'm curious if we give them 3 minutes, and also on the Q&A that we limit it to
3 minutes.
No, wait a minute.
I'd say 3 minutes for the candidate and 10 minutes for the Q&A.
10 minutes per candidate?
Q&A.
Rodrigo, 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think 3 and 5 is good.
Okay, 3 minutes to speak and 5 minutes for Q&A.
Could we add 3 minutes public comment too?
Okay, and 3 minutes public comment for each candidate. Now, could we...
One minute for each
speaker.
Yeah, 1 minute, but 3 minutes in total, right?
Yeah.
Donna, it's 17 minutes to 8. Right. So if we get 22 minutes of time, that's going to mean I'd be able to count those. So I will defer some of my time.
Let's do this. Let's let the candidate speak.
Right.
3 minutes, and then the other candidate
right.
speak for 3 minutes. And then...
People can vote.
Yeah, if it gets late, then we'll give you a chance to vote before you go.
Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair, may I also suggest to the candidates that they have 3 minutes, but if they feel they don't need 3 minutes, they don't have to.
Okay. Yeah, I think
that's it.
They know that. Okay, so while the town knows, who wants to go first? Fred and John.
Fred, you don't need to go first.
There's an age of beauty. I think that's
the
one
on
the track, but he was nominated.
Yeah.
Stand up.
And all that women, John, please start. Who's keeping the phone? Yeah, who's our kind of second-hand one?
I can do it.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm the member of Finance Committee for Strictly Treasurer now, and it's evolved a bit. And the, but I know the drill. And we now have pretty good openness to get our reports. From the business office. I'd like to see them come a little sooner, and I'll work to do that. The major duty is to attend the meeting and make sure they heard and to review their report. The only thing that the Finance Committee does is take the LSC's input with regard to financial matters and consider it and decide when it's injected into the budget. And in reality, the station management pretty much makes up the budget and give the LSC a lift further. The other thing that the treasurer does is attend the meeting for the National Financing Meeting, which is important because it's the advisory, financial advisory arm to the PND, the Financial Board. And so it's crucial that you attend all the calls. Because if you don't, your point of view doesn't get represented. And in the past, this was crucial because the National Finance Committee, in the past, had a meeting when some of our people's members were traveling and recommended to CMB that they take the KPFK station building and put it up as collateral for a loan, which was defeated by 9-8. So it came close. And so it's crucial to attend the meetings. I will attend all those meetings, except when I have the flu and then I. Except when I have the flu and then I may not.
Oh, okay.
So, okay, I'd be happy to answer questions, but that's the essence of what I have to say.
Okay. Thank you, John. We're going to let.
Three things why I'm soliciting your vote. I think I have the right vision for the job. I think I have the experience to accomplish it. I think I have the dedication to show show up and spend the hours that it takes. As to the vision, the role of the treasurer is most certainly to report on the activities of the finance committee nationally, to work closely with the business office here. Requires showing up, it requires reporting back. Thank you, Greg. In addition to that, I think there's an opportunity, an important opportunity for the treasurer to serve as a change agent, both in terms of, in a collegial fashion, working with the local business office to improve financial processes, and also to evolve an annual process of program-specific budgeting, program-specific operational tracking and monitoring, and program-specific and management-related evaluation. We're responsible for budget, we're responsible for the evaluation of station management, and that needs to be tied to programs. So I think the role of the treasurer, the typical treasurer, and the treasurer is that I read the bylaws and something I'll very much want to work closely with the board on to dialogue about, is for someone who goes beyond reporting on what the business office and national do, beyond income and expenditure statements, beyond balance sheet types of things, to, as I said, process improvement, and also an annual process of who are we, who do we want to be, where do we want to go, how do we want to operate, are we on a month-to-month basis being accountable. Secondly, experience, I currently have a 30-year career in running IT organizations. I currently have signature authority over $55, $60 million budget in an organization of $930 million. We put in, currently in the last 2 years, we put in a new accounting package, as well as that selling SAP package, has extensive experience in portfolio management. And lastly, I've reached a point in my life where I'd like to do something that brings my business experience to bear in an area of my political and social and cultural values. And that's your vote.
We need to have a Q and A, and I know that we don't have to go. So my question to the electors to vote is, do you have a ballot for, can you give one to Rodrigo? And
Can you give it up to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, make sure there's...
Huh?
What's the difference?
So we can do it while they hold the ballot.
It's okay. And then Fred, we're handing them out. And I have an announcement from Vice Chair. Your new Vice Chair is Beth Smith.
Congratulations.
The threshold for winning was 11, and Beth received 19.
Thank you very much.
So an overwhelming acclamation for Beth. John, and I think we should. On the LSD, I know you'll bring a new, refreshed vision to the LSD. Okay, so now we can, while Fred's handing out. Fred's handing out the ballots, we're going to have question and answer, and I'm taking a step.
This question is for both candidates, and you can really answer it in one word. Because we have two fine candidates here, I want to know, will the person who comes in second work on the finance committee nonetheless?
Yes. For starters, not if you have it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. but I would, I'm certainly very interested in what the finance committee does.
Thank you.
I
Raza and then
Summer. I'd like to hear public comment. There are about three candidates.
Well, but Raza, we said we're going to do question and answer. Ask first for 5 minutes, and then we're going to do 3 minutes of public comment before we close. Okay, that's what we agreed to. Okay, Summer?
What is it? It's a couple of things. The reason we hold them in the afternoon is really to accommodate staff, so that may be an issue because when we hold them in the evening, it's very difficult to get all the resources we need to pull from business management. Are you able to do daytime meetings at all?
I guess my sense would be we have one staff person, we have hopefully 10 plus working professionals and members of the community. I would wonder whether we could revisit that. Comp them some time, cut them some free afternoon opportunities for the board. But I really think that I don't know how you get professionals. I think that the job of the Finance Committee, you've got to have some auditors there, you've got to have some business people. And I have a real problem with the 2 o'clock in the afternoon meeting. I'm not opposed to it, my schedule is my own. I'm Deputy Executive Officer of the Los Angeles Superior Court. It's your tax dollars that are having
meeting
in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But I really think, I think the move that's come out of Sarbanes-Oxford is as much as possible to have a real nice mix of folks on that board.
Well, I will be honest.
I don't know how you get them at 2 o'clock now.
They don't come in the evening either. Nobody shows up at the evening meetings except for the finance members who are already showing up at the afternoon meetings. You know, I mean, in all honesty, we don't get any additional board members by holding the evening meetings. But
I'm willing to spend a whole lot of time on this. I have a big preference for evening meetings.
Okay, and I guess I would just like to say one thing, which is I think you have probably bring an excellent skill set to the board, but I'm sorry, I'm the current treasurer, but half the board knows that. I'm sorry, the other half of the board. I've been the treasurer for almost the entire last 2 years, except for briefly. I feel that there is a learning curve of being involved with this organization that does take a certain period of time to get familiarized with everything that's going on. And from that perspective, I prefer Don because he has the knowledge of how it already works, and we are literally in the middle of our budget approval process on the national, at the National Finance Committee. So I would hope that maybe you would join the Finance Committee so that by next year you would have all that familiarity organizationally. You might help us improve things in the meantime, but I do think that we need to have some continuity of the knowledge of what's already going on, which is why I nominated John in the first place, because he's a very dedicated Finance Committee member, and he knows how it's all working already. So that was my only, issue there. Is I think it takes a little while to know where everything's going on.
Is that a question?
No, I wanted, the question was really about the timing issue. That's an issue for staff, which is why they ended up meeting.
I'd argue there are a couple different sides of the experience. There are still a whole lot of things that can be learned. I don't know. What I bring is 30 years of experience as a professional manager, professional systems finance person. I would contend that that's probably balanced with what you're referring to. And I think I'm pretty much able on a daily basis. It's all about learning things.
And then, can Don respond to anything to do with the experience that you
make it quick. We only have 1 minute.
Oh.
When I was in finance, I was considered to be a pretty creative fellow, and I also have a bunch of process improvements in mind. And I spoke to one of them already, getting more time in the court, and getting them in email to the board as close to the first of the month as possible. There'll be others, too. I ran to the board on a financial thing about improving the finances. The biggest part of my campaign was how to improve the finances of the state, and the second biggest part was how to improve the listenership. And so I have a whole integrated set of ideas there. They haven't all been articulated yet, but I've got plenty. And, found out if you want.
I think we're basically out of time. So we've got three people on the stack, before we get to public comment, so can we at least accommodate the three people and five more minutes? Any objections to 5 more minutes to question and answer from the board? For the three people only.
Question, John, is this our last office?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we have secretary. Right. Let's hope we get somebody. Okay, so no objection. So, Ian, please pass the question.
All right. Well, first off, I'd ask what the point is of even having questions and answers if everyone's already voted.
not everyone's in the public. I would hope you would have hoped.
who probably would have hoped to have weighed in on the subject. I do see a lot of members have already voted, so I'm a little disappointed.
Well, I was hoping only Rodrigo would have voted.
Well, that's exactly, but anyway, I would also ask if the treasury, if the the treasurer, as he said, these meetings, our committee meetings, are not well attended in the area of finance. And I would ask if those meetings are any better publicized than any of our other committee meetings. Because, in fact, you know, it's that hard enough to get one of these LSC meetings publicized. So my question for the members who are running now for office is, what would you do to better involve the public in the finance committee and to get people to show up to the meeting?
Okay.
Greg,
you want to make
your candidate?
I guess maybe reach out to them and render the meeting as productive and substantive as possible.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, reach out. We can try to put cards on here. We can continue to tell their webmaster to put it out. We can perhaps get Terry to show us how to put these notices out herself and try to get access that way to make sure it happens in a very timely way.
Okay.
All we can do is ask.
Yeah. Okay. Ken, you were next.
Question, primarily to Fred and then John also. What can you deliver as chair that you couldn't deliver as a member on the Treasury Committee, on the Finance Committee?
I think probably the ability to work an agenda, to consult with people in a more effective fashion. I think probably can do it with a better chance of success than as such tendency to commit greater amounts of time. I think I know how this works. I'd like the opportunity to put forward a budget planning process. If I look at some of the dissension that we have here, I think much of it speaks to hiding the ball, not moving from general to specific, from strategic to operational planning, not having a structure to what we do, not exercising the oversight role of the board, to approve budgets, to evaluate the execution of programs as part of management, can't be done without a standard best practice business planning process. I can provide that. I'd like the opportunity to do that.
Thank you. John.
Yeah. Well, if I'm here, I'll do my darndest to make sure that the meetings occur when Fred can be there and can contribute that knowledge. And beyond that, with regard to myself, I bring an instant startup. I know how it goes. So there's no learning curve for me at all. And the second thing is that I've been a student of KPFA and Pacifica for a very, very long time, from the bylaws committee, and have attended so many LSC members that previous LSC members often have called me a de facto member of the LSC. I believe Israel is that term. And so I do have an understanding. I've attended the PND meetings when they're down here. And so I bring a perspective there about the network. And I won't have much of a learning curve there either. So I bring essentially an immediate startup.
Okay. Thank you. We've got 1 minute left, and it's yours, brother.
No, I give it to the public.
Thank you. Okay. So we're finished with questions and answers from the board. Now we're going to go to the public. And I see Roger and Bernie and Lauren and Sharon.
Okay, Karen, how much time do you need to
talk about
that?
Well, we said 3, 10,
5,
you guys?
5 total.
Move
it 10
to 5.
Move it 10 to 2.
Okay, we've got 5. So, can everybody have maybe a minute? Okay, go ahead, Ron. Are we all ready?
No. No. No, don't have. Don't have.
Am I on?
Yes,
yeah,
you're on.
Okay. For both John Winger and I've been around the KPFA and Pacific and three, four, there were budgets.
before there were audit fees, if you can believe that. And budgets are brand new, and the process of involving the staff is something that, Summer League, you know, put her heart into, and, you know, we didn't get that far with it. So I think that part of getting a budget that really works is involving the staff in you know, proposals for money for things that they're interested in, and also equipment replacement and stuff like that, because they know the insides of this agency in and out. And also, I would ask that both of you to consider what you would do to make the numbers clear to the listeners, because there's always this wondering, you know, what happens to our money? As a listener, you give it and it seems to go away before anything gets done for money. And also, I would like to, in some way, involve the listeners in the budgeting process as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Bernie?
Yes, thank you. First of all, just let me just make one comment about the qualifications of both John and Fred. I'm really impressed with Fred's qualifications. I'm not really sure what John's are other than the business. But I'm not going
to... Speak up, Bernie. We're having trouble hearing you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, my main point is this, folks. I'm really disappointed in you as a board. I hope that you would have come in here and started a new life for the board, especially with all the new members. Those people who have already voted ought to be ashamed of themselves, not having waited for all the comments, all the questions, and then waited for the voting period. I'm just ashamed of all of you who have already voted. Take another look at the factionalization that's going on. Are you going to do anything to stop that? Doesn't appear so.
Okay, thank you, Bernie.
Lauren? Yeah, I'd like to encourage a sober assessment of the finances of the station. Apparently, you know, it seems like some people already made up their minds perhaps at least a month ago, and that's pretty sad, because I have hope that you can be non-partisan enough to bury the hatchet, so to speak, and start, you know, turning this thing around. Really start making governments work. Now, I know that Fred reached out to me. John had to reach out to me. Because I don't know, other than him being part of the old sale program, the old sale finances that have gone on for so long. I really appreciate what Fred did for me in terms of reaching out. I reached out to everybody when you guys were elected. I said, I'm available, that's my phone number, my contact information. I was hoping that we could turn a new page. And I'm still hoping that. I'm not going to stop hoping that we could actually make a difference in governance, other than fight, other than try to control the agenda, because that's not going to help KPSK, and it's not going to help the business at all. So I hope that she could, you know, once in a while, you know, really think of what's in the best interest of our listeners and KPSK.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to welcome you all. No one welcomed you, you didn't even welcome each other. Thank you. I want to say a couple of things. There are advantages to there not being a learning curve, and there are disadvantages of doing things the same old thing. I think that Fred brings new perspectives, possibly new ways of doing things. I would assume that John will continue to do the valuable work he does. My question for both of you is, years ago, the LSD used to really go over and discuss the budget. It was not pro forma. I would like to ask each of you, as I make one of the comments that I think is really critical, having meetings in the middle of the day, I'm sorry, is not how we should be functioning. And finally, we got meetings, quarterly meetings at 7 o'clock at night, because Dave Adelson, who knew a hell of a lot about this organization, was not able to make the daytime. We have our business managers are paid, and they're there till 6. They can start work at noon instead. I mean, you know, folks, we have a manager who could do those kinds of things. I'd like to ask each of you how you are going to bring the budget and relate to the LSD in terms of the development of the budget, not just pro forma approval.
Who wants to go first?
Well, we have to ask this,
Jonas. We are at 5 minutes.
We are at 5 minutes.
Move to extend 5 minutes.
Second. Okay. 5 more minutes. And third, will it be on the stack?
Yes.
Augustine?
Yeah.
Okay. John, why don't you take the first? Jonas, question.
I was actually going to take Roger's question because he was the first one I heard.
I didn't hear. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, Roger, for a while you were attending finance meetings. I hope you're able to resume attending.
John, we can't
pick
hear
up,
you.
John, we can't hear you.
Okay, cool. You have to stand behind Roger or something so we can see you.
Roger has attended meetings in the past and was extremely knowledgeable, and I hope that you can get Roger to attend some more. And we're trying to implement the suggestions. I agree with them. And eliminating the management layer and going directly to the employees and getting their input, as well as from the management layer, gives us full representation input from the top to the bottom. But sure.
Include
the list. Sure. And so I'm all for that. But okay, what's the next question? Bernie. Well, there's nothing said there about the finance committee issue. The fact of the matter with regard to some of the processes that Sharon was talking about is that the finance committee's hands are basically tied, and so is that of the LSD. Now, I wish it were so that we could get interest from the LSD to attend the meeting. I'll ask you to attend, and you probably won't, but maybe you guys will actually come. But we do need more representation from the local station board. And we need more representation from the listeners. And we need more representation from the staff. We need all that input, and the fact is the numbers are kind of boring, and it's hard to do that. So I'll work on trying to find ways to get people to attend. Others have failed. I expect it will be challenging for either of us if whoever gets elected. So,
Sarah had a question.
Yes, Sharon, did I address your answer question or was it?
Yeah, I mean, what can you do? Because we did used to have much more discussion on the LNC about the budget.
Right.
What can you do to bring the LNC and the listeners, the staff is involved at the station level,
right,
but to bring these people into the process?
If
it's being developed in
the process
for a
format. Well, I would hope
that
the board
here, we are at half of our 5 minutes.
Okay, Tim, I ask that you guys limit your answer to 30 seconds if you can, because we've got 1 minute.
Yeah, give me 30 seconds to turn it off.
Okay.
I would hope that this board becomes a much more activist board and actually tries to do more things more creatively. Typically, the board has input from $12,000 to $14,000 per year in a $3 million budget. Well, that ain't much, it's a fraction. And so we need to try and do that, and I'm open to everyone's ideas. I think we need to become much more active in shaping the direction of the station. But, you know, the bylaws have a constraint on us. And I solicit your advice. And everyone else?
Okay. Fred, you have an opportunity.
Yes, thank you. U.S. Constitution talks about the general welfare, FDR and others drove a map truck through the general welfare fund. As a candidate, I heard repeatedly counsel to the effect that the role of the board was a limited role, and that the bylaws were very important, the mission statement was. I read the mission statement, I read the bylaws, talks about the role of the board in two areas that are real significant. One is to approve the budget, and the other is to do annual evaluations, as I understand it, of the station manager and of the program manager. I would contend that unless we live in a world where you go and ask for money without a purpose for that money, all of that leads directly to program budgeting, which we might do, if you will, program portfolio management. You get money for something. We have a whole programming area, and we can parse it out in terms of this bucket of programs, that, the other, all the way down to specific programs. We have a whole back office area, from fulfillment of flash drives and all the rest. And for all of that, we need to know what it is, we need to assess success metrics to plan for it, we need to budget for it, and on a monthly basis, we need to go and look,
find out what the estimate to actual is, if not least significant. We can see if those metrics are being fulfilled. What's the test metric? Management, personnel management is all about progressive discipline. The word discipline is inappropriate here. But we need to communicate the success of general managers, program managers to the plan. I think we need a strategic plan. I think we have the coverage for one. I think it needs to go back to who we are. Who we are is our political, social, cultural values. If we were a manufacturing company, the board would certainly have some input as to whether we were producing cars or plastic bags. We need a planning process that goes from strategic to operational. It's developed by the general manager, it's developed by the program manager, it's developed as answers to questions that we very significantly help define. It's developed to a plan that is approved strategically, it's approved operationally, it's monitored on a monthly basis, and at the end of the year, we do that assessment, and that assessment goes to the fulfillment of that agreed strategic and operational plan. I think that's substance. And granted, I'm new, and these are the ideas of someone who doesn't know as much as all of you do know. So when I read those bylaws, again, there's plenty of space for that next trust. And I'm talking about established best business practice of planning. Budgeting, finance doesn't exist for itself. It exists for two reasons. One is to be accountable for the proper operation of a public license for a station. The other, so it's not financial management, it's not financial accounting, it's financial management. It goes to those metrics. That's the job of treasurer, to help grow up strong men, strong women, strong people, try to solicit dialogue. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, we have we have a little bit of a problem because we had one more public comment from Augustine. Let me ask you, is it a comment or is it a question, Augustine?
Question and a comment.
Well, can we compromise and you ask the question?
Well, okay, I got to give a background. I guess there's a context of it. You know, just for, you know, information for you all, 80% of the programmers are volunteers. Okay, so I don't know if this metric is going to work for them when you're talking about programming and what the money is used to do. However, you know, when standardizing and bilingual programs are the stepchildren of KCSA, how are you going to program for them? Are you going to program for money for them? Because if you're looking at the demographics of the area goals that we serve, it's like 78% Latino, and Spanish language is number one, and it's a stepchild here at KCSA. A lot of negative speaking points. How are you going to deal with either one? How are you going to deal with it? Because you can reach out to that vast demographic that's out there that's growing at a very rapid rate at this time and will eventually take over the state and the scholars produce the most of all the state.
Okay, now, 30 seconds per person, okay, to answer Augustine's question. John, go ahead. What programming for Spanish language?
The finance committee is a subcommittee of the local station board, and the local station board needs to basically, and the finance committee also is the interface to management. And so the job of the finance committee, in a sense, is to be that high volume, high bandwidth, if you will, an interface to management and to convey the requirements of the LSB to the management and vice versa. The fact is, the reality is that unless we can achieve the resolution that Fred proposes, and I support, we don't have much effect. And the LSP doesn't have much effect, and the Finance Committee doesn't have much effect. Management in the past has historically taken the position that the LSP has the right to approve. That means thumbs up or thumbs down on the budget, not to give significant input. We can try, and
John,
I'll try to do it.
John, 30 seconds is up.
That's going to be tough.
I'm sorry. Fred.
Thank you. A strategic plan looks at issues of who are we, what are our values. It looks at issues of who are our key audiences. It looks at who are our audiences. It looks at issues of what is our program is. It does that in an open way. address a question that we as the board have to take. That the general manager and others are responsible for answering. We have, I believe, a fairly open process of community input. We live in an area that since 1970 has moved from a predominantly white community to the whitest of the 12 largest population areas in the United States to the Senate. We have an open process, we have a democratic process. There are people to be heard in the process to hear them, and this board ultimately needs to make sure those issues are heard. I know that's very high level, but I think it begins with an open process. No hanging along.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, that's the end of the public comment. Now we move to vote. Our Senate voting.
Two more ballots outstanding?
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. We've got something coming around. These brightly psychedelic folders are your bylaws and your mission statement, and I'm beginning to put them together in a readable format, which takes several hours. Okay, so Fred, wait a minute, are you
Seven? I think so.
Okay, so thank you so much for putting this together.
You're welcome. And I appreciate Doug taking a note of who the board members are this night.
Any more?
By the way, before I gave him one, so he's back at the still week.
Thank you.
Okay, so next on the agenda. Calling to order.
Yeah. Are we ready for the next one?
Are we ready for nominating?
Yes, we have our bylaws in here. We have our mission statement. My colleagues, I would suggest that you all go out and get a copy of Robert's Rules of Order, which is our parliamentary guide. I know when you look at it, it's big and ugly, but buy that book and also help yourself and buy a copy of Robert's Rules of Order for Dummies and read that first. That gives you the superstructure. Then you understand this, and really, folks, the most important part of this book is learning how to use the index. It will help you immensely, and it really doesn't take, it's not rocket science, folks. Okay? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now the nominations are open. Secretary, can you nominate us? Doug Barnett, do I have a second?
I just want to provide some information. Secretary does not necessarily have to be a member of the board. The people may not know that. The secretary does not have to be a member of the board, or can be a member, either way.
Thank you, Israel. Do we have any more nominations for secretary?
Yeah.
He just billed it in like July or stuff.
Okay. Okay, so what's on the table is a little bit of, indecision, because the secretary does not have to be a member of the board, and I'm kidding to you. And Doug came in July, and it is a paid position. And so Summer suggested that we run a cart on the radio station, and maybe we should decide that. Let's have a little discussion on that. Okay, first Doug, then Leslie, and then Israel.
First of all, I'd like to thank Doug for his hard work. It is not an easy task. And because it is a paid position, we probably do have to run a cart, so I would like to make a motion to postpone this until we are able to run the cart and all that. But that means that in the meantime, Doug will continue to be our secretary.
Okay, so a motion has been made to run a cart, and it's been seconded by Summer, and before, now that we have a motion on the table, what's the next step?
Any discussion?
So when you raise your hand, speak to the motion. Leslie?
Yeah, I'd like to propose that we reopen the position in July when it was originally hired. That would give us at least one officer who has some crossover into the new board, has some experience here with what we're doing, and doesn't put us in the position of having to hire an officer as one of our first tasks, and perhaps we can be in a bit of a groove and reopen this in July. And I would propose to amend this motion so that we reopen the position of secretary in July rather than currently.
I'm happy with that. Just give him a second.
Second it.
Okay.
Second.
Just a point of information, following it up, we can reopen the position at any time of any officer or any representative. So I'm not against that.
No, no. So if we
you don't even need a motion.
Yeah, but once we elect somebody, unless they really screw up on the job, we wouldn't be wanting to open up the position again. Is that the motion?
Go ahead. Well, I think a clarification is if we want to elect the secretary in July, we need to begin running the cart in May. So you have staff time to have people submit things. So anyway, that's all. That's the only way I'm going to start. So that would begin running the cart in May.
And then we have any more discussion?
Yes. Okay. I would like to know if it's a motion where we could allow the public to come before it's voted on.
The procedure.
Don't know. Any more comments from the members? Level?
Yeah, yes, congratulations, Mr. Dodd, for doing a great job now, and he's going to be seated on his next tune.
Board members, we want to go ahead and hear from the public. Everybody?
I would like to comment before we do that as a board member.
Okay, go ahead.
Are we dissatisfied with the present?
No, we're not.
Point of order.
Rico,
the resolution called for an election to secretary.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if he's willing to do it and we're not dissatisfied, and we've
So I think what the feeling of the board is that Okay, wait a minute. My question was, you guys made me forget, do we want to hear from the public? Do I have a motion to hear from the public?
Point of order, I think because this is a procedural motion, not a substantive motion, that public comment is they speak to substantive motion, not to...
How many want to hear from the public?
I would like to use that.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Are you voting?
No.
Well, put your hand down. How many want the public to speak? We got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. How many don't want the public, or don't believe the public to speak to this motion? Okay. One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay, so how long are we going to give? Okay, point of information.
I think so the executive time to
No, it's not.
No,
she's got not yet.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you're all in a bad as I thought.
Give her more than that.
Okay. How many minutes are we giving the public? Any motion?
I move 5 minutes to the public comment.
Any objection?
1 minute per person.
1 minute per person. 5 minutes total. No objection? Okay, public, Dan?
I think it's actually more than just procedural because how you pick your secretary and how you get people involved is important. And in the past, when we've advertised for secretary and for treasurer and put carts out, and the carts are the important part, we've actually garnered people from the public who you know, that we've never seen before, volunteering to do substantive tasks. And even without offering them money, they've come forward, and we've actually gotten a couple of people involved with KPSK and who have run and been on the board. So I think it's the idea of running a cart and getting applications is really a good idea as a way of getting people to substantively do something. It's a lot more concrete than just saying be on the board. People who know how to take minutes or to, you know, be treasurer, it's not an issue, can come forward. So I really think that advertising would be good as a way to just get more people involved. Besides,
Tracy, are you?
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Lawrence, and then Tracy, and then
I'll
give the Tracy. Okay, Tracy, you're up.
In the past, when we have solicited the cart for the secretary, because we didn't have one, and the current secretary had only succeeded for 6 months.
That's a reason.
I'm sorry, we're looking for the secretary now because we have one, and the only reason that it's changed is that there are new people here that are seated. So I don't know why we need a secretary when we have one.
Okay. Thank you. Augustine has a
proposal
for the board.
Lawrence
gave it to Tracy.
No, I'm
going
to go ahead.
What? You didn't give up your spot?
No, I just gave it to Augustine. And I'd like to speak to him.
Okay, I left you on the end then. Augustine?
Okay. It's a good idea to maybe put out a card and ask for people to come out and do the job. But, you know, you can get quite, you know, maybe a good spectrum of people, but ultimately, who are what mechanisms are going to be used to select the people that are going to be sitting there interviewing these people that come forth as consultants of the cart. That's really going to be really going to be behind the scenes. Roger? In the past, one of the main problems of having or not having minutes happens to do with motions that are passed that are directing management or program directors to do specific things. In many cases, the material never gets to the manager or to the program director. That's been a big snag. in many cases because the minutes aren't approved yet. So timeliness and clearness and follow-up, you know, are very, very important. And that basically takes a professional person that doesn't have trouble doing the writing, and but is also aware of the procedures and protocol around getting the writing out both to the public and to the staff and management.
Okay, point taken. Lawrence, you've got the one-off comment.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest that there's no agenda. And since the only thing that's being done is election of officers, I'd like to suggest that perhaps you have an open forum, listen to substantive questions to the new board.
Does this have something to do with the secretary?
Well, it just has something to do with the nature of the business, which is, you know, I don't object to Doug remaining a secretary. I don't object to the motion that let it be made amended by
Okay.
But what I like to do is, I like the new board to listen to substantive questions from the public in an open forum since there's no agenda.
But Doug's going to continue until we do in May. Is that the wish of the board?
Is it
the handbook, the proper handbook? Well, any objections to what I just said, or do you understand what I said?
No objections.
No objections. Okay, so my last congratulations to Doug until we find someone else. My last order of business is to announce our new treasurer, and it is Cliff. Congratulations. Now, I'm handing all of this over to our new chair. The threshold was 11. Fred got 11 votes, and John got 10. My last comment is I hope that John continues to be on the finance committee because it looks like, you know, we need a little bit of both. But now I'm going to hand this over to our chair.
Stay right here now.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Let's take the public comment.
Mr. Chair, I have, if I may, two small matters of business, and one I hope will be a unanimous motion here, and that is that we thank and commend all of our retiring LSB members for their service to KPFK. I hope we can pass that unanimously without any I also have here. I also have copies here of the confidentiality agreement that all members need to sign. I'd like to pass those around for everybody. And I hope you have the contact sheet by now. Are there any objections to my motion to commend all the outgoing members? I would like it on the record is where I'm going with this. So then
let us follow the procedure that Donna suggested, which is to adjourn the meeting.
and then we will have a committee of the whole, and we can discuss that information, but that would not at all a formal meeting. So that meeting is now, to open it up for
what?
No.
A meeting of the whole.
Don't you think we can have a vote if the meeting is to be adjourned?
That's what he's doing.
Well, we have a meeting of the whole. That's all I'm
saying. I move that meeting
be adjourned. Second.
No, thanks to the outgoing members.
No.
Just because Donna reminded us that we're only supposed to do one thing, so that's what I'm saying.
But call the vote on adjournment.
Okay, all of the favor.
Of adjournment? Is that what we're going to
do? Both. All right, adjourned. Now, let's go to the committee of the whole and...
My motion is that we thank and commend all of our retiring members for their service on the KPFK LSD. I would hope that would pass by acclamation.
Yes. I would like to offer a substitute vote.
That we also include thanking those officers that have held the positions that are stepping down from those positions as well.
Sure. Retiring officers are still on the board, but that's fine.
You
don't
like Mike?
No, I can't.
I think you're a
wise
man. Yeah.
Yeah,
he objected.
Very good.
Okay. Initiate, which is to thank Leslie with you.
To thank and commend all of our retiring LSD members for their service to KPFK.
Okay, and there has been a second to that motion, so all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Any abstentions? Let it be known as one.
I'd like to move that we thank those officers. But in all seriousness, a lot of us come here and we complain. There are certain people that step up to the plate and they do a lot of work. Some of us work a lot more than others.
Yeah.
And for those people who step up to the plate and put that time in, the energy that it takes, and also becoming a target, because if you get something wrong, you piss somebody off, you become the target. Those people, I think, could be committed. And so for those people who have held those positions in the past, I think they should be given some type of special...
The vice chair, the treasurer, the secretary that we have right now, the parliamentarian, those people that have stepped up and headed those positions, I think, should be given some love. As well as the chairman of our committee, people of our committee.
How about the vote counter? How about the vote counter?
And that's all I have to say.
And the vote counter?
And the vote counter.
Thank you.
Very cool. All right, so we have a second for that. All those in favor?
Don White is always a pass.
Automatic.
Yes. I would like to speak for 2 minutes on the next vehicle matter. Okay, so I'm going to call Elizabeth's attention here, too. When I was working, some people were frustrated the meeting took a long time, and this one guy taught us what he calls the meeting accelerator. And basically, it's a visual signal. So, for example, if I'm thinking and you agree with me, you give me the thumbs up. If you disagree with me, you give me the thumbs down. And if I haven't convinced you yet, you give me the sideways thumb, which means convince me or I don't get it yet. And if you really agree with me, which I
stop talking. You do this. When they tell you that, I've seen already wasting time to move the agenda. And you can do the same thing. There's some other signs you probably know. But that's it for that year.
Members of the board that come in do not experience what I have seen. And this is in the most respectful manner that I could say this without offending members of the board, that we should practice a little more professionalism in terms of when we address each other, myself. There's a lot of people in the past who have been very rude to the point that they've been very disrespectful and aggressive, pointing fingers, which in some cultures that's not a good thing to do. And I would hope that the new members, as well as the members that are on board, would at least test yourself. If you do not speak like that to your parents or your siblings, maybe that could be a measurement. Maybe take that into consideration. And I mean, this is a no consideration. Thank you.
I'd like 1 minute, first of all, to explain what this is a little bit. I think it's clear from the top that this is a new confidentiality agreement that was passed in April by the PND and required for all members of the LSC. They passed the ethics policy as our confidentiality policy. I also have, if we want to go there tonight, and I don't know if we do or not, sign-up sheets for our committee.
No, we can not do at this point. That's for the audience, not just us.
It's a free sign. I mean, it doesn't take anything but sign your name, and you're on, an LSC member's on the committee, and a listener member is eligible for a committee. So we could do that, place them on a table somewhere, and have the people here sign. If you want to do that, it's just there.
I'm going to add my name to the TRLC again, and as we were meeting on the first Monday of each month, we did not meet this month, and we have an outgoing chair. As the vice chair, I'd just like to let people know I'm going to call for a meeting on the 7th of January, or, 7th of January, Thursday, first Thursday of the month.
Mr. Chair, I'd like a minute just to speak to the board as well as the public. This is a new beginning for us. And people around this table on both sides have made mistakes. And I'm hoping that from this point on that we'll live in the present and not the past. Also, people that come to these board meetings, sometimes the people that come to these board meetings may not represent the majority. Sometimes they do. We don't really know, but the people that come here are the people that we hear from. And I think when people come here, we have to give them an opportunity to speak. I also want to remind the board that democracy is healthy when you have opposing views. So it forces you to listen and consider all options, to cross all T's, to dot all I's. And that isn't a bad thing. That's a healthy thing. The only time it becomes a bad thing, as my board member stated before, is when people start attacking individuals personally. We have to remember that the objective is the mission, and we have to keep our eye on the ball. And we have this amazing new group of people that are going to bring new ideas, new energy, and I'm hoping that we have the ability and the will to start as we need to continue and finish. Thank you.
Well, for no other comments, there's something I've been dying to do since beginning of the meeting, but I'll take that to the break.
This is just a housekeeping comment. I'll make sure, and when I get done to doing this, if anybody doesn't have one, tell me.
The other thing is, if anybody needs an electronic copy of the bylaws in a readable format, because I worked on this for 4 hours last night, if you go to the Pacifica.org website, there's a size 6 font copy of the bylaws, which you can't read with a magnifying glass, and then there's one in PDF that's full of typos and Greek characters because it was translated wrong. So anyway, Jennifer Kaiser at the office has an electronic version of this in a readable format, and I have that also. So it's just, so you can find it somewhere besides just the printed copy. It just has to be.
Will you give it to Ali for the website?
I'll give a copy to Ali for the website, yes, of course. So anyway, stand for right it. It's exactly there because it's sitting in the larger font size, so you can read it.
Lucina, with regard to the cultural thinker, my hope is it's a meeting accelerator if I explain it, but it's not offensive.
I would like to put out to the LSB and to the and then to the management that there be support for the community advisory board in the form of support from the office staff at KPSK to both take minutes and let people know when there are going to be meetings, where the meetings are going to be, because we need the community advisory board in order to satisfy our CPB funding. And it has erstwhile always the tab, as it is known, has always fallen apart, and we are really subject to serious consequences if we don't have a functioning tab. And the station management should take some responsibility just in terms of facilitating, making sure that those meetings happen, and moving it along. The community advisory board is supposed to be separate from the LSC, and thus nobody's taking responsibility. So I just wanted to perhaps a member of the board could make this motion and send it to the station manager and perhaps to the PNB for all the stations that there be station support for the community advisory board.
Okay, now I had Ian or Ali, so...
I think I'm going to address the same point you're going to address.
I have a response to
that. Well, the meeting is going on right now, the cabinet.
Well, no, that's not... I was just trying to...
Well, in any event, I just wanted to point out that there is simultaneous to this LSB meeting, a CAB meeting, and if we want people from the public to be able to attend, it makes absolutely no sense to counter program against ourselves. So that's number one. Number two, the purpose of the PPD in the bylaws and in the the CAB in the CPB rule is simply to advise management. It actually has zero power. If management doesn't like the suggestions the CPB makes, there is absolutely nothing the CPB can do about it. So it's
CAB,
yeah, right, exactly. So the point is that under the CPB rule, it's an advisory body only. It's one of these things where if management wants to do what the CPB or the CAB is suggesting, it clearly can, but it's not one of these mandatory bodies. It basically is one of these things that makes sure that the station is meeting the community needs or produces an assessment of what those needs are, and whether management ever meets them or not, it's really left up to management. And so, in some respects, I think it's kind of a superfluous body. We have to have it if we want money from the CPB, and that's pretty much why we have to have it, why we created, in the bylaw struggle, we created an LSC specifically to deal with station hands-on business, and the CAB to sort of do more ethereal tasks.
In response to Dan's comment about management, I happen to know that Jennifer Kaiser, who's
interim assistant PM or something like that, has taken on the task of promoting the CAB. She's joined forces with Kwasi, who's the chair of that, and they were running carts on the air, and she posted announcements on the website for the particular meeting that's happening tonight. As far as scheduling goes, maybe the chair of the CAB and the LSB coordinate better than that, but I do know that I know in the past that might have been promoted, but starting with this particular meeting, she's sort of taken it upon herself because she is aware of the fiduciary consequences of not having a functioning community advisory board.
Sure. I want to address this from a different point of view. Jennifer is doing what she can to call the meeting. But Dan, the staff has been reduced to nothing. And I have talked to Bob Conger to help get more support for programmers. What we hear is everyone is doing triple work. So for this LSC, to then mandate that the staff take on those jobs is when they're not able to do the supporting of unpaid programming, which is what most of the stations is, the programming of most of the stations is by unpaid programming. And we cannot get support because of the cuts. So I strongly recommend that this LSU not mandate that the staff do this. Jennifer arranges the meetings, and that's about all they can do.
On this CAB, I think it's the utmost and so important that that last meeting was held over the physical park. I thought Kwasi that's in my email, that's my phone, I have not heard anything from him. And I asked him if he wants some people who speak Spanish or in the Latino community. In our program, when we had it, and the people we still have contact with, we were outreaching to people like Academia, Academia Unidos del Pueblo, to the South Central Farmers Garden that they have down there, to Linwood and Maywood, and the problems they were having. Also, we dealt with the question of the public schools, as you're an aware of, John, and also too about the relations between the LACD and our community, and I think this is probably the only program that did that. So we still have those community contacts, and we want to have them to be heard here. And, you know, the money that comes from corporate broadcasting requires that. And I believe, you know, you're derelicting your duties if you do not have input from the Spanish-speaking bilingual community. Thank you.
As most of you know, I'm the chair of the Pacifica National Board. A motion was passed last August by the Pacifica National Board mandating that all stations must have a minimum of one community advisory board meeting per quarter. The meeting has to be noticed on the air, on the website, in whatever other way is possible. Minutes need to be taken of the meeting, and there needs to be a roster for every meeting. All that documentation, including an audio clip of the announcement on the air, a website image of the website announcement, the minutes and the roster must be sent to both the CFO and the ED. If that is not received by the CFO and the ED quarterly, the station's CPC funding is to be withheld until the station is in compliance with having a community advisory board. Only one listener has to complain that we do not have an operating functional community advisory board in the entire network and we lose its CPD funding. Our CPD funding is now $1.4 million per year for the whole network. Only one complaint is necessary. This happened in the late 90s. I talked to the lawyer who dealt with it, and he said that a whole bunch of people had to do a lot of fancy footwork for Pacifica so that our CPP funding was maintained. He said we will not get away with it again. These community advisory boards are crucial. Any staff money, 10% of our KFA budget is from the community, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. There is no way that should be given short shrift. It should take staff intervention to have the community advisory board function, and that's what it takes. If the LSD doesn't do it, then the staff has to do it because we cannot afford a 10% reduction in our income. And that's it. But there are also steps, as I said, there are punitive measures that will be taken. As the intermediary, I withheld the CPB funding from KPFA for over 6 months until they got into compliance with that directive. So, you know, the National Board needs business with this. We must follow the law. We must be honest and straight and actually do what the CPB requires and do it in good faith and have the CPB operate and be a functional entity that helps our station to go in a positive direction.
I second that wholeheartedly. And over the years, it varies, but it goes from 13% to 17%, depending on the station and on the project. And in some cases, it, for instance, KPFA got money to put in their new studio board that way, and so did KPFT, and I think WBAI also. They were, you know, large amounts of money to get new equipment. And also, I would like to say, in the old days, it used to be that when we had national board meetings, volunteers from the hosting area would put up the members of the all the other stations and the people that were traveling, say, from New York to LA and vice versa. And that because each station is going through many of the same problems we have and are going through, it's good that you could cross-train expertise and solutions and information and work with people on a national basis to develop solidarity. The other thing is that the CAB is actually your roots here for the communities all over the entire area. So it needs to be widespread and functional. And maintaining your connection with not only the listeners, but with the needs of the community. Because we have communities that need their voices heard and their problems heard on here. And well done today.
Yeah, I just want to add a couple of things that tie up the comment about the timing of Finance Committee meetings and the pendant and the CAB. Two things. One, we're mandated by our bylaws to have announcements of these LFB meetings and the PMB meetings. It doesn't always happen or it doesn't happen additively. But more importantly, not only should it happen, but you need to have something in the announcement beyond saying there'll be a meeting to motivate people to come. So people should be motivated by some issue to come, and then if they have a chance to participate, they'll feel they haven't wasted their time, and then they will continue to come.
So one
of the problems is that we don't have announcements in a timely manner that motivate people. Then when they come to meetings, they find the meetings are full of dissension or dull, irrelevant issues, and this turns people off. So I think whether it's the CAB, the LSB, or committees, these are two or three key things that more than a mere announcement of the meeting, which they are mandated anyhow, and then some kind of intervention necessary in our meeting process to help people work together in a more consensual way. That isn't easily done, but it needs to be done. We've had a bad history in recent months. So these two or three things, I think, need to be addressed by our next meeting if we want to have participation that's meaningful. People need to come to the meeting saying, hey, it was worthwhile, I participated, I learned something, I helped out, it's worth coming. Otherwise, they won't come, and why should they?
That's a good point, and also great friend of the point as well. In regards to the Community Advisory Board, one of the things that I labeled with for 2 years, plugging the Community Advisory Board around, dragging it around the South Central Watch, the most part, trying to take it into the community. And this is a very critical thing. Last year, there was complete inertia on the board. There was no town hall done, there was no community forum done, there was nothing done. So I'm hoping that, you know, and I'll be willing to volunteer in which way I can, that you, new board, actually inject some of that community energy into this board and into the station. It's a very critical thing because that's going to bring up our listenership as well. Now, I had a question to the new treasurer and also to the board. My question is, what kind of community impact strategy are you going to come up with to raise funds, and most importantly, to raise people to come into our station as a tragedy. Now, there's plenty of ways of doing it. It's just like the way of recruiting cab members. You know, the station has to provide support. Whether that means some, you know, a couple of minutes on the air with some costs, some recruitment costs for the community, from the community, going to labor unions, you know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can be done. And I'm hoping that this court, like John was saying, does become an activist court, does become a board more active and more congenial with each other in order to get things done. And that's what I'm hoping for. And I would volunteer my energy, my creative energy, to help out in which way I can. So that's the question to the president.
Thank you, Lauren. John?
Yes, well, I have a...
No, John Wainer, and then you...
Can the president answer the question?
Oh, can I answer the question?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
Can you answer the question, please?
My question is, what kind of... To the board, too. What kind of community impact plan are you going to strategy, are you going to develop to bring people, great people, to come into our station as a private, and also to raise money?
I guess I just come back to what I said. It's going to be an annual planning process. It's how we can unpack what we are, who our critical communities are, our own biases. You've got to talk to working people, you've got to with Spanish, with language groups, you've got to talk to opinion makers, you've got to speak with intellectuals. We've got to look at demographics. It would be fabulous to start with 50 meetings out to South Central, get them up to East LA. It's a fabulous opportunity. I'm sure that is a response to that, of course, to talking as we all do with it.
I'm sure that we'll be giving further attention to that idea and the idea of the first night.
A quick comment about the thing about the CAB. If $1.4 million is at stake for the network, then I predict that our staff, which is currently scurrying to earn $100,000 so they can pay their expenses to the station and their salaries, because we have this as of a week or so ago, we had 63% fulfillment. And I think what's happening there is that because people were encouraged to do credit card payments across the year, that's why the fulfillment is only 63%. The number of people, the fraction of people paid by credit card was something like 73%. But if we don't have only 63%, that means that there's a deferral due to the fact that they attribute their payment. If it comes down to getting that $1.4 million to the network, I predict that the staff will do whatever it takes to get the support from the CAB. And we need to make sure they understand what's at stake.
So thank you so much. I am so impressed by the participants that are here at the my question is, is it possible that we could take this out, say, to laws, like, for example, a location for our meetings, for example, law school, union hall, college, auditorium? As far as reaching out to the community, why not involve within the facility where the community pretty much functions and do their daily work? So I wanted to bring that up as well, to the table, to brighten up the new year by attending union hall, college, auditorium, and law school. Down to the neighborhood. Think of those three places, and you'll be a center.
Thank you. Thank you. In fact, one of the meeting places that we had thought about for this meeting that was discussed was the United Teachers Los Angeles. So we may be able to bring that up in terms of the next meeting?
On the tab, right now, if you go to our website, there is no contact information whatsoever for the tab. There is no phone number. There is no email. It says LSBTNB tab. There's nothing there for the tab. I brought this to Quadri's attention. Quadri's number has changed 3 times in the last year and a half. Ali's contacted him. I like Quadri very much, but I think he has some contact issues. So we may want to consider this board encouraging staff to create an email specifically for the cab.
Like a
female. Yeah, there's nothing there right now, though, at all. I mean, if you click on it, there's nothing right there. Okay, but I mean, on our website, man, when they hit tab, TNT, LSC, there's nothing there. So anyway, and it hasn't changed since I brought this up to Quadri 3 weeks ago. So we're really concerned about
it. Put it up on the website?
Does
Quadri have the power to?
No, but Ali's contacted him several times. What I'm saying is he's sometimes difficult to get a hold of. It's not his fault. I'm just saying we need to create an email for this. So that, and I've had a listener complaints about me. There was no problem.
Ali?
No, I've tried to contact him. He's left messages and not left a return number. They could pick a point person, maybe a secretary for the CAB, someone that's consistently accessible. So that if people want to join the cab, they have a point person that will respond in a timely manner.
Yeah.
One of my fellow law school students.
Very hard to hear you.
Sorry, I'm new here, so forgive me if I'm preaching to the choir or I'm saying something that's unnecessary or naive or whatever. But I'm kind of my mouth before. But, you know, there's a good, easy way to make money. We need to make money. I mean, Bill O'Reilly needs a job, Rush Limbaugh, you know, it can bring a lot of money. But when you start thinking about, just to talk about, we're talking about the new processes we're going to try to create, the treasury and all these other kind of processes. And just to keep in mind that, you know, when the making money is for the purpose of, you know, carrying out a mission, and when making the money jeopardizes the mission, it's hard to see it sometimes, but when that happens, we have to be able to kind of pull back and sort of think about ways that some of our community organizations, like the churches, how do they raise money? They reach out more to their community. They feel the community feels the church is relevant to their lives, and the more that they feel that way, the more they're willing to give. And so that's just a keep in mind.
Yes,
I just
wanted to explain and entirely off topic that I have just passed around my November report from the PNB. I do not have a December report at this point, but I will, and I'll get it to everybody. I just want to explain what you have sitting in front of you right now. If you're utterly confused, that's what it is.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, talking about half, I've been around for almost a year. It's how they think in supporting the CAP meeting. We have, for example, Program Oversight Committee at the church, 100 listeners gathered there to talk to program directors, Adam Minsky. So they have a lot of complaints. What they have gained? I mean, you know, let's be, you know, honestly deal with that. CAP, you know, if there is going to be one complaint, we lose $1.4 million. The station has to support, you know, all the committees, you know, to have to listen. We heard Alan Mitzke the other night that, oh, our listening has gone up. No, that's not true. I was the one going with Mr. Sanchez to pick up the ballot. We lost thousands of listeners, you know, compared to the last election. Let's deal with the reality that the station has to support all these, you know, motions from this CAP or Program Oversight Committee or any other committee.
John?
I'd like to speak to John Parker's comment. I ran with my major platform was to use the music programming to increase the revenue for the station, so the music programming can become a revenue center. Now, and I think this would be a good thing because if we can have a 365-day-a-year revenue stream from the music programming, this will take the pressure off the fund drive. not only that, there's been programming changes made that are controversial, and there's factional disputes about them. And if the theory is that we have to get our listenership up, and therefore we need to put on more popular programmers in prime time. And we only have one month revenue in the bank to pay our bills, and because this last fund drive didn't have enough fulfillment, we now have a surprise 3-day fund drive in December with discussing the staff. So it would be nice if we had already had a revenue stream coming from music programming. And the beautiful thing about it is it takes the pressure off the public affairs programming to pay the bills, and therefore takes the pressure off, takes the revenue pressure off of the motivation to change the programming. We still want to make the programming better in every way. So my question is, I just like a quick show of hands or thumbs. Thumbs, you know, up, down, and sideways. How many of you support this idea I have of trying to explore creatively ways to turn the music sector into a revenue center so that we can take the pressure off programming, the public service programming?
I would just like to say this. I'm wondering, as a board, what are we going to do differently this year as opposed to what happened last year? I'm wondering, what are some of the ideas that we're going to bring to the next meeting that are going to be constructed? I know some of the things we've talked about last year at the beginning, a year ago from today, that never materialized. And I'm hoping that, you know, this won't happen again. We talked about the importance of possibly setting up a sister station or a second screen for Spanish language radio. We talked about using bus benches and other forms of advertising to let the people know that KPFK is out there. Because when I meet people and I talk about KPFK and they go, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that NPR? You know, they're people that really don't know. And we have a lot to offer the people. We are a community station. And every time I hear that, it hurts me. Because I think that's saying something about what we're doing that's not working. So I'm hoping that we'll do some things, some creative things. Maybe I tried to push this poet night with KPFK and in South Central, because there's a place where they hold poet nights once a month, and I thought it would be a great collaboration, and that would get some people in. And as Mr. Parker said, and a gentleman in the audience said, that people aren't always going to come to you. Sometimes you've got to go to where the people are. You know, and I don't know if we're effectively going where the people are, whether we have our meetings there, or whether we create events there, or whether we do something, but we have to get out there. We have this great new equipment that we bought a year ago, this mobile equipment where we can get broadcastable recordings from wherever we are with this remote equipment. I don't know if we're using it effectively, because there are a lot of amazing things happening that we could be a part of, and we are often silent.
Sorry, you were out of order. You should have been next before.
Go ahead now.
Thank you. Where's Lawrence? Okay. You spoke about several different groups that needed to be addressed more specifically, and I'd just like to add to that there's a group of us that aren't that sophisticated technologically. I'm one of those people, and there's been a few times when I've called the station and wanted to buy one of the gifts, or in addition to my monthly support of the station, and I've been told that it's only available on MP3. Well, I don't do MP3. I mean, maybe I'm the only one, but I think that there's probably a sector of people out there, probably older people like myself, that aren't that sophisticated, and the assumption that everybody gets that, I think, is erroneous. There's probably a large group of people
that might avail themselves of some of our gifts if it was something that they felt that they could use. So I think that we need to keep in mind that not everybody has moved with the speed of technology, and some of us won't. And I think that we need to think about offering whatever kinds of gifts that we give and more familiar modalities that people might use. So I don't know if that is a variable that's affected our listener sponsors, but I think we need to remember that there are people that aren't, you know, like Mr. Parker here. So, and there's a poetry venue that meets every week, in fact, in Leimert Park. Mm-hmm. That's the World Stage Performance Gallery. So I like that idea of a poet.
I think we have heard a lot of really good ideas about how to improve programming, how to reach out to the community. We have also heard a lot of opinions in terms of what's wrong with the station. One of the things that I've noticed so far and that we need to really consider in terms of priorities is the disconnect that exists between these boards and KPFK staff. And the fact that there's no, well, other than my staff at this meeting, needs to be addressed. We need paid staff attending the meeting, attending management, attending these meetings. Because the decisions that are made here are directed to management staff. And so that is to be addressed if we want the decisions that the board made to be take form or safe. Otherwise, nothing is going to happen. We are talking about several communities where there's no staff, and so that needs to be addressed. We heard about the risk of losing money because the cab is not being formed, and that means but it needs to be also in staff representation so that committee is effectively organized and conducted. Thank you.
Oh, no, I didn't
have
my hand up.
A long time ago.
Oh, it's so long ago.
Okay, your name.
Just a comment, because the gentleman was talking about revenue stream, and I think that, along with the programs, are so important. And if you're using your committee appropriate, and perhaps a liaison of some kind, speaking to the issue of staff contact, that kind of thing can be important. I'm very much out of the loop. But just as to MP3, I did find one of those for less than $10 at Goodwill. So they are available. And believe me, it's been a great resource for me, and I'm grateful. Thank you.
Okay, is that good? Yes,
I want to comment on what John and Nico said about, I think stations sometimes start things against themselves. We have this equipment to go out to the community, to interact with the community, we're community radio, but we're forcing programmers, as you said, to bring in money, and then we're highlighting those programmers who bring in the most money by giving them more hours. And they're just giving us programs that, deal with national issues, and I'm not saying we can have that. But where's the community programming that's going to use that equipment? They're just not here anymore. They're joining or they're going to stop. The other piece of it is, we need a news department that's going to go out into the community. We don't have a news department. And what's this board going to do about these issues?
Okay, Lawrence, both of you raised your hands simultaneously.
I got it first.
I'd like to hear some chance if you have to stand up.
For the record,
I don't know how to download stuff into an MP3. So my son taught me how to use an iPod. So I have like 500 songs on my iPod and I don't need one. In terms of, we have to emphasize how we need to have a sober approach and assessment to what's going on, you know, with money streams and programming and all of this stuff. And we have all these people out there. We have hundreds and thousands of people out there. You've got labor unions, you have community groups, you have community grassroots groups, you have, even some NGOs that we could work with. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff out there that there's a pool that we could really jump into and pull some people out, you know, because the board has to be able to put the rationalism aside and work for the betterment of those goals.
Okay. Now, hold on, because I teach and I can remember when people raise their hands, but don't keep on raising them because I'll remember who you are. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right.
First of all, my name is Khalid, and I'm a former LSC member, and I want to congratulate the newcomers, and I hope you have as much success as I believe I enjoyed having on the board also. I would like to also submit to you that the election committee or the election process as a whole really needs to be scrutinized. If we're going to be talking about fairness and democracy, first and foremost, not to put a damper on anything, I think Michael Sanchez did an excellent job. Given what he had to deal with, and I thought Les did an excellent job in coming here, but there were some real serious issues and concerns with statistics, ballots, and perhaps even the vote count. We can even talk about waivers and the issue of who got them and who didn't and how they were actually counted. So I would respectfully submit that this is something that you really look into because it was a very serious issue of fairness. And, you know, again, congratulations to you all. I'm here to support again. I will continue to be here. And if I can be of service to KPSN, please let me know.
There you go. It's delightful to have this good feeling. I hope it continues. We haven't had this history for the most part the last few years. And I suggest that we need to have not only the desire to have it, but we need to take steps to improve it, to improve how we conduct our meetings, to improve how we reach out to the public, as I said earlier, to motivate people to come and then to return because they feel it's been useful, they've been listened to, not always done to do what they want, but they're listened to. And so this requires some obligation the part of care and management. For example, earlier Louise mentioned about staff. Well, we have 6 people on this board who are staff people. The manager is ex officio, a member of this body without a vote. Now, the manager has a good record, not just Bob Conger, who's the interim, but in the past, of attending, often because out of frustration that it's taking their time away from important work, which they're already overburdened with, to go to a meeting which seems senseless or purposeless or useless. That's just the truth. Those of you who haven't been to that sitting there know what I'm talking about. Those who have know what I'm talking about. So we need to take some steps to improve this process. And this may require, I think it does, from my experience over the years, some intervention by professionals on how to conduct meetings, on how to resolve conflict, on how to improve our performance. It's not a shame to go to a doctor if you're ill, if you have any symptoms, or to consult with someone who can help you on a process. I think we need that kind of help, and it's available. It's available free of charge by people who are sympathetic and part of our community who have offered over the years. And I'd be glad to continue to work with some of these people if this body is open to having that. So we don't go back, revert to our last few meetings, which is pretty pathetic and not outrageous.
Thank you. a brief brevity is certainly going to be appreciated. This meeting bodes very well for us having a civil, compatible, successful year as an LSC. I really look forward to working with all of you, as we all look forward to working with each other. And when Luis got up and made his statement, it was, to me, slightly psychic, because it was about what I'd raised my hand to say. It's covered in the bylaws in the section, Article 7, Section 3, Paragraph D, to work with station management. To work with station management. That is the requirement of the LSC, to work with station management, to ensure the station programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation. And if you read through this in the subsequent paragraph, it's very clear that the mission of this LSC is to make sure that the management runs the station according to the mission statement and outreaches to those communities that have been abandoned and don't get addressed, and to make sure we have diversity, and to make sure we handle issues of conflict and so forth. And this would be, in a colloquial sense, prevent us from moving to programming that was exclusively Howard Stern and traffic reports just to get money. We have a goal and a mission to attain, and we have to do it by working with management. And I concur that though there are board member staff here, there's not enough staff participation. The GM should be at every meeting. I know the last GM only showed up once in a while, and they left as soon as they could. And I would love it if some staff, whether they're on the board or not, came here and gave us an address as to what is the day-to-day operation of the station. Because we can come up with all kinds of idealistic concepts, but if we don't know how the station runs, what's the nuts and bolts, and the financial requirements, and the daily requirements, and what the staff needs from us, it's just theoretical. It's like utopia. It exists in books. We have to function with the staff in the reality of the radio station. It's a radio station. I personally want to say I look at it as a media organization, not an experiment in democracy or political philosophy, but a media organization following the bylaws and the mission statement. Thank you.
I have a couple things. First off, I want to thank the members of the public here who stayed with us. I would like to encourage all of them. I make sure we've got sign-up sheets out there for our committees. They're going to start meeting. I know one of them, I've already scheduled a meeting in this meeting for January 7th, 7 p.m., the Cardinal Oversight Committee.
Is that on Monday?
No. January 7th. And anyway, the point was, that actually is a committee that's tasked with making sure that the programming is meeting the mission and all that. Now, it's funny because the way the bylaws, they can sort of give us like a lot of jobs all at once, but we break those down into committees. So one of them is personnel, which does management review and hiring and whatnot. And management review is very big. And then there's program oversight, which actually makes sure that the programming is living up to the mission, and that's why it's a very important committee. We just had a town hall meeting. I think, as far as I know, the only town hall meeting that was done last year, even though the bylaws tasked us with two of them. So that's one area I look to this board to get up to speed on, is doing town hall meetings. Another area is reports to the listener. The station has not been conducting regular reports to the listener for a long time. The LSC should be involved in these reports. I'd like to see a diversity of viewpoints, but I'd like to see the LSC also doing its own production. So the idea that the station management can determine who on the LSC is allowed to speak and who is not allowed to speak is a real problem for me, and that has been the way it has been handled in the past, at least in recent years. So I'd like to see more involvement from this board demanding fairness, even for people who we disagree with, to be involved in this process, because you know, part of the Pacifica mission that we're all supposed to be upholding with our ethics policy here is the inclusion and the understanding and the dialoguing with people who we disagree with, as opposed to the, you know, witch hunting of those people. And that is something we need to move forward on. So I encourage all the LSC members to sign up for these committees here tonight, and I encourage all members of the audience, some listener sponsor members, to come and sign up for our committee members, and actually let our committee meetings and let other people know about them too. We're going to try and get these things better announced. And with that,
okay. Way in the back, well said.
Yeah. So.
Okay, my name is Luis Garcia. I came in fifth alternate on this past election. I noticed the news of the team today, so congratulations to Luis. But I want this board to understand that I've heard a lot of positive things today. I see a lot of self-reflection looking back over the past year. Statements like, goals were set exactly 1 year ago, and this board never got back to those goals from them, and nothing was done. At least we're taking a look at that. And here's something else that I want you to look at. Once Rubina Flores leaves the board, there is not one Chicano, Mexicano member of the local community on this board. So when you hear the term Latino, that covers Central Americans, South Americans, and it covers Mexican Americans. The Chicano and Chicano community has a unique history in this country. We are recognized under Article 27 of the United Nations Covenant on the civil and political rights of recognized oppressed national minorities, something we share with African Americans. And not only on this board, but the programming that's coming out of this station is not meeting the needs of our community. And I'm glad to hear what's going on today, because I've said this before, and I'm going to keep hearing saying this until I see more action. More results and less talk. But I'm congratulating everybody that's on this board. I'm glad it's happening. But when I hear comments on the negative side, such as the one that Ken Aaron just made, that his personal view of what this station is about is his view, and he has every right to do that. But I think the majority that is involved in the family of KPFK, the Fitzup family, is all about meeting the needs of communities that do not get represented in the media. And if we get away from the Pacifica mission statement, that's going to be the end of Pacifica. So we have to stay true to that mission statement. So as a board, if you sit on this board and you see there's no Chicano representation on the board, on programming, it is your responsibility as well as our responsibility, our community, to make a change on that. When this vote was taken, but before question and answers and input from the public was heard, I counted 16 people voted before any comments were made. That means their minds were made up. 8 people turned in their ballots after the comments from the public, after question and answer. Well, that's exactly the same proportional fractionalization that's on this board that's happening. And so, at this first meeting, all the positive things that I've heard about potential change for the good, I think is belied by the actual behavior of that particular vote. Because that exposed everything that's been happening wrong this whole past year. And since all the previous takeovers of the system came, that we've had to fight again. And here it's coming back again, and that representation is, we got it on camera. People voting in bad faith because they don't listen to the public, they don't listen to question and answers with an open mind, that maybe some people would change their vote. We saw the actual opposite happening. So I hope that's going to be an end.
And next to the mayor, is that Tina?
Rubina Juarez.
Rubina.
And you know, Jiro, for the last 3 people who spoke, I'm not going to repeat. I would hope that this board would look at some of our waivers. We had issues with waivers because of what the public had said earlier. They weren't in Spanish. So I volunteered, and I'm going to give you the history of it because I think it's important to recognize where our mistakes are, that they're so small sometimes that it causes a lot of problems. The waivers were not in Spanish, and I would hope that we could have waivers for members who cannot afford, that are going through hardship, that they're willing to volunteer, or they have volunteers, and they were not in Spanish. And we had certain members of this board that questioned the need of a community member during hardship.
and I volunteered to call the people via the phone, and we had representation from an outer community that wanted to be a volunteer. And it came down to three waivers. I think, how many waivers did we have this year? Not
34.
We were not going to go bankrupt for 34 waivers. But we made it such a big issue. And that sometimes we were so involved in that little detail that we forget the bigger mission of who we represent out in the community. So I would hope that we could modify that form so it's easier, friendlier for people to fill out, so we don't have to go back and question.
Don, do you have me in the queue? I've been on waiting a long time.
I do, there's a long
queue. All right. First of all, I wanted to say that I am, I really like the new program. I like, you know, the fact that Martin Prescott has several programs, you know, has, you know, several slots in the morning. And I'm hearing her talk about local things a lot. I don't know what other people, maybe they're missing that. I like, you know, Ian Masters in the afternoon. I hardly ever got to hear him on Sundays because I was involved in doing something else, so I like hearing that. I think the Sunday slot with having Ray Montaigne and Tim McNally and Ian Masters together is a nice grouping. So I think that having the Spanish language programming, you know, one right after another so people who are listening in Spanish can hear all that is also nice. So I know that there are pros and cons, but I just want, you know, to voice the opinion that this is, to me, very sensible changes and giving us good quality programming, which I like to hear from KTFK. I am also so happy to see the new members on the board. I think it's great to have Fred Plunder with a lot of enthusiasm to try to really restructure how the budgeting is done. And there were a cluster of us who have tried to use the review of the general manager and the program director to steer policy. So I think that it's a good try, and really nice to hear from John Parker, Sequoia, and Louise, particularly because I haven't heard from you and like hearing what you have to say. And anyway, so I'm very happy to not be on the board and to be volunteering, but.
I'm going to go to someone who hasn't spoken yet, to those who have not spoken at least once, and then we'll just go around clockwise. The meeting is supposed to end at 10. I'd like to get the next meeting date, so let's just go around one more round.
I have to set the...
If you look in Robert's rules under the word absentee, you'll be directed to a section that explains that it's a fundamental rule that members must be present when a vote is taken. So for those complaining about the board members voting early on the treasurer's election, I will point out that the polls opened early on that election so that Rodrigo could vote.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know how the early voting went for those who complained about early. And some of those members may have thoroughly studied the candidate before they cast their vote. And so I don't think there was anything improper.
You're going to go to Michael.
I wanted to comment on something here that will be in my local station board election report, which I'm in the process of writing right now, but I will hope that the station board will consider. And that volunteers that are going to be signing and giving up their time in all these various committees for our next election, it is crucial that all of these members, their information be gathered up and be submitted either to the secretary, something that all of you are going to have to decide amongst yourselves to do. Every single member that volunteers for any type of service to the LSB, all of these names should be properly collected, all of their emails, all of their phone numbers, everything that is needed in order to add these people to the membership roster so that they are included for the next election cycle. I encountered several problems where there were people, including members of the board that were seated in the board, where in one case, until it was followed through, I had to disqualify a member of the board because it was never indicated to me that this member was doing volunteer service to the board. That was Chris Condon. In other sections, Bella DeSoto, who does volunteer work for this board, was also eliminated because she didn't show up on the roster. In order to eliminate these problems for the next local election supervisor, whoever that may be, I ask that the board consider typing up some sort of a form that can be submitted to the station. The station at this point, either to Terry Guy so that he can independently keep a hold of that, or that it be submitted at the time that we are collecting the information for to be submitted for the printing of the ballot. At any case, I'm going to be asking for this, and this is going to be my number one request to this board, is that you make a fair and proper accounting of every single person that does volunteer service to this station. So that would be my major request, and you'll be able to read everything else I'm suggesting in my local station board report. But that would be my most important thing for all of the volunteers, that they be properly included in their volunteer service. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. So let's go around one more time before we conclude the meeting and start with Doug.
Thank you. We didn't get a chance to really speak after we had our mini election here, elected our officers, so I'd like to take a moment for that. Before I do, Luis, I wanted to address what you had to say. I have to go back to my notes, pardon me, a lot of thinking. The vote that occurred, you know, this was one of our very first votes. It was a little confusing. We had a member leaving, so the bucket was passed around by a well-meaning volunteer, a pro tem chair. So everything's a little bit confusing. So I propose that in the future, we use this as a precedent that all of our votes, we make sure that we're all satisfied with all comments, are finished before we pass any sort of a bucket to avoid that confusion. I think some people were well-meaning. They heard testimony on both sides, placed a vote, and forgot that there was more people speaking. So I'll apologize for that. But I voted early. I heard back and forth several times, dropped the ballot, and then there was public comment. So I'll be the first person to admit I did vote early, apologize, and I look forward to not doing that. What I want to point out about this meeting is look at this great group of people. We're working together and we're functioning and we're doing exactly what KPSK needs to do. This is the intention. We have a group of fresh faces and fresh voices and fresh ears in here that are eager to learn and participate and to learn from the people that have been there and set the precedent. And it's exciting. It's fantastic. Thank you very much for 19 people voting for me. I'm a little blown away by that. So I'm confident and I thank you very much and I want to live up to your expectations as a vice chair. I want to congratulate John for winning solidly, unopposed even, as our chair. I think you can do a fantastic job. And our new treasurer, Fred Plunder, thank you very much. He's already treasuring. I address you as fellow travelers. We've all found something at KPFK that speaks to us. We're all very different as you look at the faces, the nationalities, the languages. We're all very different people, but we found one common thread at KPFK, and it's trying to provide it to all of us. So we all bring our input. We all try to foster its growth, and that it can't represent every single block-by-block neighborhood, but we know that it represents the voices that just don't get out there because they're stifled by this corporate media. They're stifled by every other radio station in Los Angeles. They're stifled by the PlayStations and all the video games and the baloney. We will work together as a team. I'm excited to see this group all on one page moving the station forward. And I'd like to say also, after what happened in Berkeley and Washington, D.C. I don't know the details, but I understand some mayhem ensued with their new board. We, as Los Angeles' specific outlet, will be the leaders, and we will set the precedent for others to follow and say, hey, we're going to work together. We're going to maintain a respectful discourse at all times, I assure you, as the vice chair. We'll keep our tones level. We'll keep our cell phones off. Everybody will get heard, and we'll move the ball forward. And we'll also try to get out here on time every time.
Thank you. And I applaud that. And to honor that, please, if you haven't spoken yet, let's have anybody who has not spoken yet, who would like to speak. I think that while you were on camera, you were speaking. And you did a little dance, I seem to remember that.
Because it almost seems irrelevant now, but people were asking a lot of questions and saying things, and now we're sort of in wrap-up mode. So there were several points that were raised, so I'm going to cruise through them, even though it's not wrap-up. But I guess part of the problem is that you were so far up the time you raised your hand, it really is no longer relevant. But I, on a couple of different points, without making comments on programming changes or what I think of them, I do feel there are financial issues at stake, and that's why we're holding a three-day fund drive, not because we have lower fulfillment, but because we are paying senior programmers who are not in the budget. So I think that's something that, Fred is the new treasurer, and all of us should be concerned with, is that when you add two new staff members at half full-time salary, you end up with a new person who's not in the budget. And that's something we need to look at going forward in the year, because neither Margaret nor Ian were contemplated when we approved the budget last month. So that's something that I believe is accounting for why we're having an extra fund drive that was not scheduled. Okay, so the CPD funding. I personally am concerned that we are adding paid programmers who we did not contemplate when we approved the budget. Secondarily, when it comes to management participation here, we all, which managers participated more, but Bob Conger did ask me if I thought the board would appreciate having a specific staff liaison person besides the staff reps who are on our board, a person we can go to when we want to interface with, someone who would come here and say, hi, I'm like the person you come to with various issues. So we don't need to decide that now, but management has already put that forward. Would we like to have someone specific is not a voting member of our board to connect with the staff so we can handle issues and that
And then what we'll do is if you keep your comments shorter, those who did not speak, and someone said they didn't speak, the full time was given the 3 months. So try to make your comments brief if you've spoken already.
Yeah, call me in 60 seconds, please. You have 45 seconds time. I absolutely agree with your statement. And I think we should also have some Michael Sanchez on it, and everybody else, maybe Fred and Terry Goodman. And if you need a local station board person to be the sponsor of that committee, I'll do it. And so, how much time do I have left? I'm done.
Okay, and
I'll be
on.
Yeah. I'd like to disagree with the
Not true at all.
One thing that you pay attention. What Rico says that we go to some community here have not heard about KPSK. Before John Harkin knows, when there was demonstration, KPSK banner was in front of 20,000 people because the KPSK, news department was present there. 11,000 people in Hollywood Park, they line up to get health, you know, medical needs, HDSA was not there. 1,100 FBI agents invaded South Central LA, HDSA was not there. We used to, as a board member, I'm commanding board of you, during the Martin Luther King, you have to have permission to pray in Martin Luther King Caesar Chavez. The, all the board members should participate in this, you know, event when we go there. Nancy is part of the Glendale Prestige. Anything they pass every Friday has KPSK logo on it. Church Anderson do that. As a board member, we don't have to sit here. We have to go to different communities, and I'm assigning and proposing that both of you get permission for Martin Luther King pray and Caesar Chavez and be informed about different, you know, demonstration now.
Yay!
Now, our photographer, did you want to say something? Hold the camera out and go through the talk?
Yes, I would. Thank you. As far as grouping programming, since we're talking about, some people are talking about how what the programming thing should be, we need to have some comments on that. I have a real good solution. If one tendency that's being funded by one set of money wasn't winning and buying all these elections, they wouldn't have been able to just sit on the program director and put in strict programming without consulting any of us. It just happens. Without input. That's the most important thing. They need to include their input into all of the decision support. That's what the board is for. Most of you have been elected by the listeners, and you need to represent the interests of the listeners. Because there are two classes of members in Pacifica. There are listener class and then the staff class. Those who are elected by the listeners need to be promoting the interests of the listeners. And I just want everybody to know that I'm documenting. Not that I have anything against personally, any of the staff, that's not it. It's just, that's the way the board is composed, and your job is to represent the interests of the listener, not the staff. As far as the script programming goes, there's one tendency that's got about 80% of the airtime. Now, I haven't figured that number out yet. I'm exaggerating, but you've got a lot of individuals with different hours all over the place, yet their cars are paying faction. And that they got all the inordinate amount of airtime is based on the amount of political power they have, which is based on the amount of money they're injecting into the election. And I just want everybody to understand that it's a very uneven playing field, and it's a problem, you know, even for everybody in this room when it comes to Democratic Party elections and, you know, Republicans and inordinate amounts of money being elected, you know, electing the people who have the most money. So that's not the way the civic system is going. At all. And there's one tendency that's got too much airtime. It should all, if they're going to be script programming, it should all, they should all those people, you got to be honest and say, I am part of the committee to strengthen state and your pay tendency, and so maybe it's not fair for me to pretend that Jim Masters is the representative of that, when there's also John Wiener, Susie Weissman, Roy Aldrich, you know, there's Roy Hollywood, they've got most of the grid already. So if we're going to have strip programming, let's take all those people, put them into one strip, then they can become a collective like they actually are, and then we can level the playing field. It's about inordinate amount of airtime to one political tendency, and we're narrowing the number of voices.
Okay, thank you. On that,
and that's not the way Pacifica needs to function.
On that note, let's focus on, before the close of the meeting, the someone provided me with a play. The next meeting. So, I think that Rodrigo said that Tuesday wasn't good for him. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are not good for
me. Excuse me. Excuse me. I had my hand up. You're not recognizing
me. Yes, yeah, I understand. No, I understand. But
you're gonna get
we're going to go through getting the meeting.
We committed to leave at 10 o'clock.
So.
Well, then let me say what I have to say real quick before you do that. Okay, because 60 people voting before the question and answer period and listener input happens would not be due to confusion or what the comment that Terry Goodman said. That revealed the attitude that I'm talking about, that this path forward
And maybe now this current board is going to do the same thing. They're not going to listen.
Yeah, but
Tracy was trying to speak. Ten, about four or five men went in front of her. The Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo also protects the Mexican community. We have a right to be represented. We're the largest demographic. We're 80% of the Latinos. And if you would concentrate on our community, you can solve your funding problem.
Thank you. Very briefly, please, because we really want to get to the next meeting.
And on that topic, actually, our past practice has been to alternate weekend and weeknight meetings so that people who can't make it at night can come in the daytime.
Okay.
So I would suggest the next meeting time be a Saturday or Sunday in the daytime.
The next meeting is at the end of January. It would be best if those Pacifica National Board members were elected in early January, because then tickets to Washington, D.C., which is where the meeting is going to be held, can be bought at an inexpensive rather than expensive rate. So it's a, now, people, just to clarify, you have to have served on this board for a year to be eligible to serve on the Pacifica National Board. So that means less than half of the body here is eligible to be on the national board. It's a very important election. The national board owns the entire foundation. So the next meeting is very important. It should be in the beginning of January.
Should we set it on Saturday the 9th or Sunday the 10th? Work for people?
Saturday
the 9th?
Yeah.
Saturday the 9th? What time of day is this?
1 o'clock
Saturday the 9th? Now, my suggestion was, and I took what someone said, a suggestion that was made that we would alternate Union Hall with the UCLA, UCLA College, or Loyola Law School. Say, the Union Hall, the Law School, and the Community College. Any possibility of that? Would that seem like it would be something that we could work on?
Sounds good.
Well, what happened?
I can get
to UCLA if that's what you want. Okay, so we can work on that maybe for one of the meetings.
Might I suggest the chair set the date and the time and then inform the body of the location once we confirm.
Okay, so shall we say then Saturday, January 9th at 1 p.m. in the afternoon at a place to be determined? So does anyone have connections with Loyola Law School?
I could go and inform both of you.
All right, so why don't we look into that? I'll try to look into UCLA and see if we can have it there on a Saturday. Is there anything else that we should do?
Yeah, I make a motion to adjourn at the government meeting because we actually a week before you guys to set the agenda.
So I guess that would be January 2nd.
Or it's usually about a week. It doesn't have to be exact.
So sometime within that week.
So if you want to, who's the deck on chair
be,
no longer here? Who's the vice chair on
it? It'll be me.
So why don't you set a meeting?
That's why I'm
Ticket, you call.
I don't have a calendar in front of me.
Do we have a community board meeting at the same time? If we were in UCLA, we could advertise the team that could come, for example.
Point of information?
Yes.
CAB meetings are quarterly, not monthly.
Yeah.
Quarterly, okay. So we don't need one now, or do we need one?
We could.
Okay, let's count.
It's a different time.
Does this count as close?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me get it. Okay. So do we need to agendize that or mention that meeting? The governance meeting?
It would be good to announce it. The
governance meeting.
I think we could work in
on what is what who those of you who are on the governance committee, what they don't work for?
I'm gonna be on, but any day is fine for me.
Yeah, I'm not gonna make any.
Nobody has a problem with any day? Okay, how about a Wednesday? The Wednesday before that Saturday? What date is that?
Okay. So I'm making an announcement for you guys right now. The Wednesday before. The 6th. And we're trying to get it at the Key Center at 7 o'clock.
January 6th?
Yeah. What time is it? Key Center at 7 o'clock.
I'd like to announce the finance committee meeting on February the 8th. It looks like the second Monday in February. February 8th, please, 7 o'clock at the station. February 8th
at the station.
The
20th?
Finance. Monday, February
8th. Thursday on each month, I'll see committee. I'm gonna have a meeting at the 30th day, 7:30 p.m. Thursday of each month.
Okay, I'll stop my name off the other side. All right, the meeting is. Oh, I want to do this.
Thank you.